It's so odd that it seems like the Magic the Gathering community and world has been just as on fire as like my life.
Yeah, no, I'm, oh my God.
Well, so yeah, it's been a cascading effect too. Like every time I turn around, there's like, you were just telling me about new bands that people are possibly looking at.
Oh yeah, no, we'll get into Standard. It's fucking nuts. Let me see if I can actually, I'll drop it in the chat just for you to like experience. There's like a 1 minute video that is, we have turn two wins in Standard right now.
Like reliable turn two wins?
Reliably turn three wins.
Oof.
All right, I'm going to copy this and I'm going to drop it in chat and we'll probably watch it when we're going to like get into that proper. It is Standard's like nuts right now.
It's the red ley line, right?
Yep.
And that card is only like $4.
I think it's Ley Line of Resonance.
Yep, that's the one.
Well, because I want to keep calling it Ley Line of Reverberance because it's just reverberate on a stick.
Okie dokie. And honestly, Standard conversation would be great to start with because that can talk about the absolute shit time I had playing Monday. At my Standard tournament. Because like I've been learning good about Standard because I want to play Standard. Grew up playing more like 60 card decks and just like here's some regular ass Magic. But the people who play Standard, I'm coming to find, just have less than no chill about it.
Oh yeah, no. Standard's awesome right now, but Standard grinders right now, like, watch the video. This is what you can do in Standard right now.
Oh yeah, no, I just saw it. That is ridiculous.
Double opening hand, double ley lined. Here's a mountain goblin. I'm gonna play a surveil land. Cool. I'm gonna drop a second mountain, buff the shit out of my goblin, hitch in the face, sack it, hitch in the face again, dead. That like I don't think they're gonna ban the ley line because it's so new. Like,
but that goblin is that's from Phyrexia, and yeah, so like yeah, that's what two 3 years now.
Phyrexia was at the beginning of 23, so okay, going so on
almost two years.
Going on 2 years. Yeah. That goblin is I will get into it later. I don't know if I have it in my heart for another goblin to get banned this soon.
This soon.
I mean, they just killed my boy. They just massacred my boy. But the Cacophony Scamp is like I kind of love it because this is such a nutter's fucking interaction that like the Cacophony Scamp has been like fine, but definitely not like a red deck wins staple the way like Slickshot Show Off or
oh
like,
yeah god damn Slickshot Show Off, holy shit,
or like that that new mouse that when he dies
the one where every time you put something on the field it gets buffed.
I think there's some shit that I'm like okay yeah no I kind of know what like creature based red deck wins looks like.
Yeah,
and then these ley lines come around and make the scamp the bastard man of red deck. Like, this thing's such a fucking house.
Well, and so like I feel it doesn't help that red is so incredibly dominant in Standard.
It's the
the haste, and yeah, it is haste. Like, it is haste and aggression, and you know, turn four you've already chipped away, like whether it's through tiny little goblins, whether it's through Franco or whoever, you've just been chipping away at people's health.
Yeah, yeah. Like
by
you
the
are,
time they even get one or two creatures out,
you are never not turning sideways. And there's so many good cantrips right now. I'm loving, just for like Duskmourn, I am loving Turn Inside Out. Mm-hmm. That thing has been so fun and limited. So much value. and like, but the way that like that interacts with the scamp, like the fact that the scamp has a free death trigger that like all you gotta do is deal combat damage and then you can pop him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my god, won't someone rid me of this meddlesome goblin?
I like him. I think he's a
I love
sweet
him
little guy.
I He's just doing his best. He's just doing what he was told to do. But like, it's because like the way that I've been playing Standard, like up until Duskmourne's release, is like a little more mid-range control-y, a little more like combo oriented engine. Like I've been a big fan of like Roots decks, or I love like Landfall Lizards, and like
Landfall Lizards is the, so that's the deck I actually need to build. So finish what you were saying, then I'll talk about my kind of bizarre Standard journey.
Go for it. But like, yeah, like I love my Landfall Lizards, but like these are, it's Standard. I expect this to last 6 turns, probably.
Like at the very least.
Like it's, even against a red deck wins, like I've got removal. I'm not gonna let you stick anything. I'm in Sultai. Like I've got counter spells and removal. That's fine. Like just let me get my shit going. Just let me cook a little bit and I will outvalue you. You can't do that right now. Like whether it's red deck wins, or I'm still seeing like some good results on Arena with like green white bunny aggro.
Oh god, yeah.
There's a really sick Boros Enchantress red deck wins that I've seen folks run right now. Like, oh my god, like there are some phenomenal enchantment payoffs and like enablers from Duskmourne. Like that
the enchantments go so crazy.
Like protection from ghosts or whatever.
Oh,
like
shelter. Oh, my
sheltered by
best
ghosts.
Friend in the world. Sheltered by ghosts.
Oh,
fuck yes.
Pack one, pick one. Sheltered by ghosts. Like,
absolutely.
Oh my god.
Lifelink and Ward 2.
And
get
removal.
The fuck out of here.
It's
so good.
It's ossification plus a lifelink enabler. Like, it's just, oh my god.
Yeah, no, turn four, like, if the deck I've built for Standard goes the way it should, turn four, that is a 5-4 goat with lifelink.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Oh, my God. And that's just, oh, my God. Or I'm also loving that Trapped in the Screen.
Trapped in the Screen is also very good.
Like, I've been playing more Limited for Duskmourne than I have, like, strictly Standard, just because of the red deck of it all. I have zero patience for that.
No, so here's the thing with Standard is that I want to, all right, so yeah, I guess I'll tell a little bit about my Standard journey is that I've only really started going to LGSs and groups in the last 6 months. I've gotten heavy into Commander, but I've been really trying to branch out because I really like drafting. I really like Sealed. And I want to like Standard more, but it is probably of all the different play styles, it is the most aggressively hard to get into, because if you want to actually do anything, what I've learned, it's not about just like where Commander, you know, we've talked about how there's a lot of give and pull, where even if you're not quite popping off with your deck, you can still do stuff because you're not just interacting with one person, you're interacting with three other people. And there's a table effort and there's politicking and all this other shit that's happening.
Yep.
Standard, if you don't come to play, like if you have not come stacked with the perfect combo of rares and mythics,
you're going to get hosed.
You are getting shown the fucking door. And I did okay because I played a Bloomborough Store Championship. I did do top 8 out of like, you know, 15 people. So not like,
no, but
not
that's
like
still
amazing.
That's a top 8 to top 8.
A top 8 is a top 8. And so, and it was okay. I found my footing with a kind of red black deck, like solid. But walking in this last time, I was like dejected because I went in, I was feeling a great about, and granted, this is my fault for, again, like we were talking about not playing the meta, which like every deck I went up against had red, or if it didn't have red, it had some like funky, if it wasn't red, it was Tiny Bones, if that makes sense.
Oh, like, yeah, no, it's, if,
that,
if it's not
and
red,
that little
it's
fucker,
like, It's either super speed or super disruption.
Yep. It was either red or Tiny Bones joins up with Tiny Bones and a shit ton of legendaries on the field. And like, that's all well and good. Like, I don't begrudge anybody for making those decks or, you know, building out the decks they want. But at the same time, I feel like it is, I don't know, it feels antithetical to the spirit of like the spirit of fun I have when I'm doing not Commander, but like drafting, like where we're just like, okay, let's play Magic. Let's have fun here.
Oh, I know. That's not how I draft at all. I'm a fuckhead when I draft. Oh my God. I draft to win. I get spiky, but I intentionally kind of kneecap myself where I'm like, I'm going to be spiky, but I'm going to have a gimmick.
Okay.
Like I told you about the Is It Mill deck that I drafted.
Yes,
from my friend's Innistrad Cube.
Yep.
I literally won games without casting a single creature in draft.
So that actually,
just because I had so many like counter spells and removal spells for other people's shit, and I'm like, I'm just gonna War of Attrition, baby.
While we're on the subject of drafting, okay. So do you want to just go into like Duskmourne from here?
Yeah. Let's.
I feel like
I want to talk about the good first.
Exactly. So at this point, I have now been to, because pre-release happened right after we recorded the last episode. I have drafted from the sealed sets. I did 5 pre-release events.
Hell
and
yeah!
Then I did the following Tuesday. I did 1. Which was very fun because I decided just, you know, for the hell of it, I had a little bit extra. I decided to draft 1 collector pack.
Hell yeah.
Which was very funny for the table because I kind of just snuck it on there. I didn't make like a big deal out of it. But then everybody got hung up on it because, you know, it's a collector pack and people are like, okay, do I want this card? Do I want this? Anyway, it was a good time. I like this set a lot more than I thought I did. I think it is fantastic for drafting because I've been able to find so many different, going into Standard and going into Commander, I've been able to play so many different tactics that wouldn't work in Standard. Like as I've sat down, as soon as I got there, I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can make Mindskinner work in Standard. No, that's the Mind Skinner dream is not going to happen. However, Mind Skinner draft.
Oh my God.
I fucked shit up. I got, I think it was 3 matches in draft, just milling people out, milling to the bottom of their deck. Like, and I'm going to swing at you for like 13 and they have to mill 13 cards. Like,
yes. Nope.
Disgusting. Oh, I love living, you, Mind Skinner.
Living the mill dream in draft. There are a few drugs better than that. Like it is living the mill dream is better than some sex I've had. Just because no one expects the mill. No one expects to just not have access to increasing. Like it's the perfect type of control.
And I think, so it has been, the fun part about Duskmourne draft is that it's not just milling, because there are a decent number of powerful cards that let you mill. There are a number of powerful cards that let you resurrect. So I drew a Val'Gavoth and I drew some other demons. This is where my like little resurrection standard deck that I have came from, is that I milled... Or did I discard? I did something to get Val'Gavoth in the graveyard and then brought him back with like Escape from the Cocoon. And I was like, okay, so I can do this 9-drop 9/9 with 5 or less mana if I just set up the combo correctly. And once you get Val'Gavoth on the field.
Once Val'Gavoth lands, like it is so Jover.
I almost like, feel bad because it like people just kind of stare at him like, you can't even attack him without paying three permanents.
He's got Ward Annihilator 3.
Yeah, he has, like, insane. His board is a board wipe. And then if with a resurrection deck, like the thing I'm trying to get going, which I got going once successfully, but I need to tinker with it. I'll get it working. I swear to God.
Shoot me the list sometime. I'd love to see what you're trying to make.
It is. So what I need to do is I need more removal. So I'm trying to find, I bought some Fel from Bloomborough, and so I need to get some Cut Down from Dominaria, but
those
cards are like $4.
Fel's awesome. Fel's
great.
Awesome.
I was unfamiliar with Cut Down's game, and Cut Down, the one of the decks I went up against, were, which was just stacked with legendaries, was just like, for a one drop, he's just like, yeah, I'm gonna kill everything, and I'm just like, fucking okay, cool.
Yep. No, it is. That is. I was gonna say, like, I'm a big go for the throat girly.
Yes.
But Cut Down. Ooh, Cut Down though.
Well, Cut Down in Standard.
Yeah.
Is filthy. Because
it is.
Standard is all played. And I think that maybe that's part of why I'm not loving it so much, because it's so much faster. It is all played in the early game.
Yeah.
Like, there really is no
if you can't find your footing, you can set yourself up for the late game, but like you need to be on creature lands. You need to be turbo control right now.
Oh, for sure. But even aside from that, because I don't want to get to talking too much about Standard yet, because I want to still go over Duskmourn. Even aside from, like, okay, so you can choose milling as a tactic in draft. You can choose resurrection as a tactic in draft. Another perfectly viable one is, like, little guys. Because of, like, red-white and blue-red and blue-white synergies between, like, some of the gremlins, Arabella. Jesus Christ.
Arabella's... Oh my God.
I felt the wrath. Arabella and Norin, Swift Savior.
Yeah.
Little bastards. Oh my God.
Oh my God. No, I have one of my arena standard decks is Boros Shitheads.
Yeah, no, that describes, like, those guys.
Oh my God. It's just like, it's nothing but Arabellas and Hop Tuits, and I feel like I feel so evil.
No, it's so fun to pop off. And the other big one that I love seeing in draft, I think my first draft deck, it was sealed, but the first deck I made kind of accidentally fell into this, and then I ended up tinkering with it a little bit. But
yeah,
enchantments and Eerie. There is so much to Eerie. Because literally everything is a fucking enchantment. Like, because Esper, there's enchantment creatures, there's, like, Esper, Eerie, enchantments
Esper, Eerie
is crazy.
Is cracked in draft.
I, for, like, the first three or four drafts I made, every time I was just looking at the cards, I was like, okay, I'll make something different this time. But it's like, has to have blue, black, or white, like, some combination.
So, my draft experience with this has been a little more at home. So pre-release weekend, one of my partners and I did a bundle battle where we each purchased like one of the bundles did a 9-pack sealed to fuck with each other.
Fuck yes.
And I was on Jundelirium. She was on Azurius Eerie. Oh my God. And so, like, and then we've bought some more packs after that, and we have, like, a little tiny, I wouldn't quite call it, like, a set cube or anything, but it's just, like, a pile of Duskmourn that we do a two-person draft with. And, oh my God, like, one of us will go for Eerie every single time, because it just feels so fucking good.
It's like a perfect little...
It's such
like
an
a built-in
engine.
Combo engine, like, because it is just, okay, this is going to trigger this. This is going to trigger this without being too crazy or big brained. It's just built into the mechanic. It's so good.
This draws me a card. This makes me a little guy. This puts a counter on that. This makes that unblockable. Like, it's, oh my God. No, the draft dream that I really want to live is, say its name, Altnok Thrice Called.
Yep.
I
every single time I was telling myself, if I get three Say Its Name and an Altanach, I'm going green.
We're
I have
doing
to.
It. We like it's there's that is. I just want to have the dream once. One of my Twitter friends posted in their in his sealed. I think he cracked like four or five Say Its Names and an Altanach. And I love that for him. Like
I would, and Altanach is a surprisingly so it is an uncommon, but not actually that uncommon.
No, from my experience, it is a very. I have pulled Altanach many times, and I love
really.
That. Oh my God. I think our pile has like three or four Altanachs in it.
Oh, crazy! Well, we fuck actually, me, I guess.
It's yeah, I hope you get it because it's also a great reanimator target.
Oh yeah, yeah, I bet. Especially well, oh god, with green with all the milling that some of those do.
Yeah, no, if you're on like if you're on any of the deliriums, I mean, I usually just kind of combine it like a Jund delirium. I'm in Junderland. It's
well,
awesome.
And delirium like, is even greater in this set because you have so many cards that are like enchantments and creatures.
Yep. Yep. Enchanted like, creatures, artifact creatures.
Yeah, exactly. I like, love it. It triggers so much faster.
They put Terramorphic Expanse into it. There's a land. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Shit, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the only thing you're probably not hitting is like Planeswalker or Battle. But
who's
like,
the one
I
Planeswalker?
Don't...
Oh, it's
the Kaito, the Ninjutsu Kaito. Planeswalker.
Yep.
Oh,
I haven't
my
been
God.
Able to fucking get him yet. I got the Wanderer.
Oh hell yeah. No. We've been I've been loving Nico.
Oh my god. Nico fucks. Nico I put into one of my decks. I was like running blue white and I was like, I'll throw Nico in. I was unfamiliar with Nico's game. When you bring them back, like if they get got by something, the shards stay on the field.
Yeah.
So if you can
do.
Like remove Nico. Bring
Bounce
them
Nico.
Back.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Oh, yeah. No. I got to live the dream once. You know, the island cycling vigilant shark?
Oh, yeah.
Turning shards into a big fucking shark.
Let's fucking go.
Oh, my God. Oh, like this is. So just thinking about this, like very in conversation with Bloomborough, which I think I like more as a set just because of how fucking I love how fast Bloomborough is. I love how aggro Bloomborough is. But like
the other thing I think Bloomborough like, has over this is tribes where
yes.
the big thing that bums me out is that like because we were really excited for Gremlins. Gremlins are
no
barely a tribe.
There's not nearly as much Gremlin support as I want there to be.
I know. There's
Mark
a
Rosewater.
Gremlin, a Reverent Gremlin, Gremlin Tamer, and then Midnight Mayhem. And that's
there's
like
a no, there's a 99 that makes Gremlins when you attack.
Oh yeah. But that's not nearly enough. But even Razorkin isn't enough of a tribe.
Which sucks. But I think that's something that like I find more interesting with Duskmourn is the fact that like it's so much less on rails. Like Bloomborough tells you, like you look at your pack one, like you look at your first three picks and it's like, well, I have a raccoon who's a house. I have this thing that enables that. And I have a cool green fight spell. Yeah. We'll be in Gruul. Let's go raccoons. But this, I think your pack one, pick one, to me, unless your rare is like busted and kind of variable, I'm early drafting removal. I'm early drafting like modular removal. Like, give me that trapped in the screen. Give me that
sheltered by ghosts.
Give me I saw a thread earlier talking about how good Glimmerlight is as a pack one pick one, and honestly,
yeah, I was seeing somebody also talk about like how slept on Glimmerlight was, and I'm like, you know what,
I see it. No, I mean, two mana, comes down, makes a 1/1, gives your shit +1/+1. It might have a sack on it as well. I like what is it, the Lost Tapes, the one drop artifact that lets you look at face down your opponent's face downs.
Found Footage.
Found Footage, there we go.
Found Footage is great for just like really quick card draw. Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm on Delirium, I want Found Footage. Surveil 2, draw 1.
Hell yeah.
You just get Delirium online.
You're definitely right. It has, so I think kind of what we were just talking about with those different, like, it might not have the tribalism that I definitely wanted when it came to Razorkin, when it came to toys and like all these creature types, because it really kind of only has that for nightmares.
There's
a shit ton of nightmares.
I love the nightmares.
And they're so good. And I want more gremlins.
I want more gremlins too. But like, what about that? I'm loving Fear of Abduction.
Fear of Abduction's great. I really like Fear of Lost Teeth.
Fear of Lost Teeth is awesome. Fear of Surveillance is really cool.
Fear of Surveillance is like essential for my Resurrection deck right now because of the Surveil.
The Surveil.
Fear of the one that does fucking work is Fear of Imposters.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a Fear of Imposters and the Defender Survivor that I can't remember right now, like Scared Survivor. And because Fear of Imposters is a counterspell that is also a 3/2 for
and
3.
And an enchantment.
And an enchantment. Like, Fear of Imposters in an Eerie or, like, enchantment deck, get the fuck out of here.
It's nut. Like, this is a very fun limited environment. Like, I will absolutely be doing something similar to my Bloomborough Jumpstart.
Oh, yeah.
With this set, I think, like, I'm not rushing to put it together as immediately as I did with, like, Bloomborough. I think I had the outline of my Jumpstart cube done by, like, before, like, the set had officially released. Like, oh my god, it's like Bloomborough just gets me. I did luck out. Like, I opened so many good cards from Bloomborough during opening. I'm like, I'm good to go. And I managed to snag a bunch of the good talents before they shot the fuck up in price.
Yep.
Duskmourne, I apologize for ever doubting you.
No, I really, I came away from that first weekend really feeling like, all the things people were mad about with the 80s and the Stranger Things cards, like that shit is barely there.
It does not factor in as far as I'm concerned. I'm like, oh yeah, there's a thing called a chainsaw and it rocks. Oh my god.
Like, it feels like such a good cohesive set that it feels a lot more unique, I think, aesthetically than I was thinking. The Survivors, one of the things we were talking about was how we felt that Survivors should feel, you know, more sparse and more uncommon. They do. Like, you might get one Survivor a pack.
Yeah. And it, like, no, I Survival is a mechanic. Oh my god. Oh my god. Kona.
Rescue BC.
Rescue Bestie. I want to build I have thoughts and feelings about Commander right now, but I also have thoughts and feelings about building a very degenerate, like, borderline CDH deck around Kona, because I think it's possible to live the dream. Like, Rescue Bestie, letting you cheat out like Ulamogs.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
but
oh my god. It's in its permanence. It's like, worst case scenario, you can just ramp.
Yeah, worst case scenario, you get out a land, like a second land for turn.
Like, what a freaky little man. I cannot wait to see the things he will do over the next over his standard rotation, because like I have a feeling there's going to be something in Foundations that makes him not only playable, but preferable.
So like, really quick, when Foundation comes in, what's going out?
Nothing's going out, I believe. I believe next August.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
I think the next things to go out are going to be Dominaria and Brothers War.
Okay.
But like... Or I know there's going to be one other, right?
It won't be Phyrexia yet.
Not yet, no.
Ixalan?
No, Ixalan was just last year.
No, I think you are right, though. There is one other one that I'm forgetting.
Well, because we, New Capenna, we just lost New Capenna and Kamigawa.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure, wasn't Dominaria right after New Capenna?
I believe so.
Anywho, tell us in the comments. Engagement bait.
Well, really quick, before we go into anything else.
Yeah.
As for the actual act of opening the packs, what do you think of how the packs are organized? What do you think of what's in them? Because I have a couple complaints, especially compared to both Bloomborough and Outlaws.
I also have some complaints. I am not thrilled with play boosters. Like they're fine, but like even compared to like Bloomborough, I think Bloomborough has been my platonic ideal of a play booster.
Right.
So this carries on my issue with, I don't think we're getting nearly enough tokens, partially by which I mean to say I am shocked and appalled that I have not been able to open 600 Gremlin tokens, because that is my son. That is Lord Reginald Snot Rocket, and I need him. I do really like that sometimes in the token slot, there's the punch out like play pieces.
I do like that.
Oh, we never even talked about rooms.
Oh, dude, yeah, rooms.
Rooms. Like, okay, before we get into complaints, I want to, all things considered, like, this is like at least an 8 out of 10 set for me. It's fucking awesome. I love Manifesting Dread, and I fucking love rooms. Oh my good golly, goddamn gosh. They're so, like, that design space is sick.
Well, and especially with how it plays into Eerie and unlocking rooms and enchantments
God.
Yeah.
It's nuts. They're
great.
They're fantastic mana sinks for late game. They can be fucking warping early on. I really love the room that lets you draw it's the mono black room that cares about if you have a demon or not.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That if you don't have a demon, it pings you for 2. But if you have a demon, you gain 2 life, opponent loses 2 life when you draw a card. It's like it just kind of shouldreds. And then you can open it bigger and make a demon. I think it's with those little punch out guys, I love how easy it is to keep track of which rooms are open and which rooms are closed. However, Wizards, why is one of those little punch-out guys not included in every fucking pack? I'm sorry. Especially in a draft situation.
Yeah, everybody does need those, for sure.
I would say they're almost more necessary than tokens or, like, traditional counters. Because, like, we've largely, like, yes, you can use a dice. Yes, we've all like country girls will make do. That being said, I love when it feels like a board game. I love pieces. I love thingies. And just like it feels nice to see like a locked door on my room that's locked. Like it's a very easy for me to remember what that is and if I want to trigger it. In a way that like, because even you're just looking at shit with dice all over it, it's like, well, what is that? Oh, that's a fatality counter. or a finality counter. Oh, that's a 1-1 counter. That's
yeah,
yeah.
The dice that's a flying get very, counter, actually. Very quickly.
Or like, yeah. Or like representing, oh yeah, no, I've made 16 gremlins this turn. This is not, I have not amassed gremlin 16. Like just for play reasons, it really frustrates me that the additional pieces that we need to play the game beyond just the normal cards feel so much more sparse.
Right.
And this is a set that makes a lot of different tokens too.
A lot.
And it's also a set that might make a lot of very specific tokens. Like this is, I have run into an issue with gremlins
exactly.
Similar to what I was running into in Bloomburrow Limited with bunnies.
I've run into the same issue with shards because I think Nico is the only creature that creates shards.
Yes.
And I've never had a shard token. So it's just I'm going to grab this art token or this art card that is off to the side and just say this is shards.
Yeah, it's very, as far as like order of the packs themselves, I don't think they're much especially because there's a whole difference between like the Japanese printed versus American printing in terms of like what order things are slotted in and whatever, and like the contents of like the 14 cards themselves. I'm like ambivalent on. I don't love that there's not one more card just because it makes drafting that much like kind of riskier.
Yeah.
But no, it sounded like you had some thoughts and feelings. What's up?
Yeah. So I realized that these are both very pithy complaints. But one of the things I loved about Bloomburrow, and I think I mentioned this last time, is every pack had a full art land. And I understand that is because there were 20 to collect or
20. There's four of each, yes. One for each season. Yeah.
Yep. And that, you know, that's way more than just five. So that is a good way to deal with that problem. However, I love the Duskmourn full art lands. I like having them in hand. They look so good. The coloring just pops more.
Yeah, they're sick.
So they're great. I love them. I want more of them.
They're fucking awesome. Like,
and so my problem is that, okay, so Bloomburrow had guaranteed one full art land per pack, right?
Yep.
Outlaws had guaranteed one Prosperity Times the art treatment cards per pack.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it was uncommon or rare. Sometimes there were multiples, but it had at least one here's a unique art treatment.
Yeah.
And then Karlov Manor had something similar where I've actually cracked a couple packs because I've been looking for some surveil lands. And like every pack has one or two art treatment cards. The problem I have with Duskmourn is that I really, really like the art. I like the art treatment cards way more in hand than I thought I would.
Oh yeah. No, I and cracked them. I cracked a Jolly Balloon Man with the weird, like the neon multiple exposure.
Oh, hell yeah.
It fucks.
Like one of my first packs, I got the full art Marvin, the Murderous
Minute. Oh, sick.
And I love the look. I even really like way more than I thought I would the purple and yellow art design on those. But they are so damn uncommon that to the point where I've opened entire sealed sets, like six packs in a row.
Yep.
And gotten like maybe one.
Yeah.
Not even a rare, not even a foil, just one unique art treatment card. And that that takes out so much of the, because I've it's put me in a mood to like open packs and stuff again. And I showed you, I think I shared the moment where I opened Shouldred on stream last week.
Yeah, which congrats. That's
fantastic. Thank you. She is still sitting in the exact same hard case I put her in just right behind me.
Reasonable.
I think she's just gonna sit there for a little bit. But like Dominaria is one that I've been opening a little bit of because that's a set I didn't really draft, I didn't really play. And every pack of Dominaria, we were talking last week about how, like, those art treatment cards.
Those stained glass cards.
Yeah, like, even if it's a 10-cent uncommon, like, whatever, it's still like, damn, that's cool. Like, it gives you the dopamine rush you want.
Yeah, it's like, oh, look, that sure is a Karn. Well.
Yeah, or, you know, whoever. Like, uncommon, legendary creature. Like, it's something, you know? And I feel like that is maybe missing a little bit from Duskmourn. Yeah. And maybe it could just be my pulls. But at this point, I've opened a lot of packs. Like, I've opened my fair share of packs at this point.
Yeah, I would say that I've either opened or, like, one of my partners has opened, like, probably, like, 25 packs at this point.
Yeah, I think I'm probably, I would say, between prize packs.
15, sorry, I can't do math. But still, I have yet to open a single one of those, the TV static alt frame treatments.
Really?
Yep, have not opened a single one of those. I like the current frames of traditional Magic cards right now. I'm like, I'm not the most broken up about it, but it still, like, is nice and exciting. I actually, I ran into a thing the other week. I picked up a pack, just a single pack, and let me find which one it was. I was going through and I'm like, oh wait, cool, this is like a double rare pack, that's sick. Oh, this one's full art. I don't remember there being, like, just traditional full arts. Hallowed Haunting. Oh, this seems busted. I don't remember this from the spoilers. And then I looked, I'm like, oh, it's a special guest, that makes sense. But I do think it's notable for this set that, like, seeing a full art card even in a pack is like, wait, hold on. Which, I mean, I guess, like, on one hand, it does make the fun pull, like, the fun alt pulls more special feeling. But yeah, not having that consistent, like a bonus sheet to look forward to and be excited by is a little bit like, but devil's advocate, this does make for a more balanced and contained limited space. Like, I do think this does contribute to how great it's felt to draft. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I like that. That's just been my, and granted, I realize that those are between full art and the other art treatments. It basically comes down to art treatment cards. Other than that, like, I can't complain too much. Outside of the fact that I still dislike pulling common lands because it ends up, you know, like, when a new set drops, especially, and if I get a bundle, which I've gotten, I have a Duskmourn bundle. I'm already getting full sets of lands on top of everything I'm opening. So I'm just ending up with these piles of lands that I'm just going to, you know, donate to my LGS or whatever.
I mean, like, I really like the non-full art Duskmourn lands just on, like, a visual storytelling level. Like, I think that they really encompass the plane, like, really, really beautifully. And capture just, like, the vibe of how, like, fucked up it is. It's like, no, this world, like, is just an infinitely expanding house. Like, I love how surreal they feel.
Oh yeah.
Especially I love the plains. I think they're really sick.
I like the plains. I really like the forest.
Oh yeah.
Like that weird wooden walkway. So
with all the, like, the weird, like, doors in trees and shit.
Exactly. Like, God.
Oh, my God.
I want a video game of this place.
It's... Bring back blocks. Bring back blocks. I want to spend more time at Bloomborough. I want to spend more time in Duskmourne.
Like, what about Yawgmoth take? What about Duskborough?
Oh my god. You know what? Yeah. Valgavoth opens the door to Bloomborough. I'm all in.
I was thinking that because we've been talking about like how they could revisit these blocks. I think really mashing them together in weird and unexpected ways would be fucking sick.
The way that like we have a plane that kind of functions as Realmbreaker
mm-hmm.
is awesome. It's great. No, and I hope that that's like a direction that we go in. Like, yeah, it's. Oh my god!
Could you imagine, and I was doing this just because I was like, damn, that would have been a better direction for Thunder Junction. Like, imagine Duskmourne Thunder Junction or Innistrad Thunder Junction, like horror cowboys.
Horror cowboys, yes, please. Oh my god. Actually, on the subject of lands, I do want to briefly touch on, now that we've gotten to play them in person, both the 13 life lands and the new untapped duels.
Yeah.
How have those been feeling for you?
The 13, I'm going to be honest, I think I took advantage of that maybe two or three times. I don't, like, outside of standard, it's not like a concern, or not even standard, outside of just sealed, like I don't see a big use for those other lands. I think are super useful in multicolored
decks. The new duels are busted as fuck.
Also, I don't know what the commonality is of those, but I have drawn more of Gloom Lake goddamn Verge, the blue black one, than any other rare by a far margin. I've drawn like six.
Oh, I'm kind of jealous. That's maybe that's the universe telling you to, for your standard deck, you should go into Dimir Control.
I guess probably.
Maybe. I'm just saying that kicks.
It worked for me. Dimir was not fucking around in this set.
But no, I've only cracked the Azurius one and the Rakdos one. They're like, I think that these are, these are probably high B tier, low A tier multicolor lands for me.
Oh, for sure. Because, I mean, they're multicolor lands that you, if you get it out on turn three, assuming you've dropped, you know, one of every other or your other two colors, like that's a multicolor land that you can tap as soon as you put out.
Well, I mean, it always taps for one color.
Right.
And I think that's... And it checks for one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, these are... They're so... Like, the only downsides, they're not fetchable.
Oh.
But if they were fetchable, then they would enable
themselves.
There's
nothing that you can tutor for non-basic lands, is there?
I mean, like, there's some things that let you,
it would just be like a certain card.
There's like put land from your hand onto the battlefield type things, but I don't believe there's not, no, if there were like more consistent non-basic tutors, that would be, I mean, like you can do like a crop rotation, I guess.
Well, because there's also like this set has Demonic Council, which I really like.
Yeah, like you can use like a generic like search for a card,
right?
But like yeah, so but they you can't get them off fetches. Like, and they don't have any ETB trigger, so I think that the Surveil lands have a little bit of a leg up on them, but like. These are at least as good as the as like slow lands, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. At least,
like, yeah, they're nutty. I'm excited to really play with them. I'm just thinking about, you know, it'd be a really interesting place to try out these new lands.
Where would be an interesting place to try out these new lands?
Commander.
What?
Yeah, I think that they'd be...
But hey, hasn't there been some developments in Commander?
It's been 84 years. All right. So we're just gonna... anyone who's listening to this ever will know that September has been the longest decade for the Commander format. And so we, when we last recorded, this was right before Bloomborough, or not Bloomborough, I wish we're still in Bloomborough, right before Duskmourne's pre-release. And then, so that was a Wednesday.
Yep.
And then the following Monday, the Commander RC announced a quartet of bans from the Commander format. And before even getting into this, I'd called for an emergency pod, and I'm kind of glad we didn't.
I meant to be able to make it, and I as soon as the next stuff happened, I was like, oh, good thing we didn't do that.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm just going to kind of lay out everything, and then I'd like to at least a little bit talk about our thoughts on the bands themselves. There's just... Where the fuck do we even start with this? Like,
just chronologically.
All right. So the RC, genuinely out of nowhere, it seems like, even to members of like the Commander Advisory Group, decided to ban Nadu Winged Wisdom, which is obviously like that fucking bird, man. Oh my god. That fucking bird wizard.
I was holding a full art Nadu not like 4 days before this ban. And I was like, maybe should I make a, that would be funny to make a Commander deck with this, right?
Have you played against it? It's miserable.
I haven't had the pleasure.
It is a miserable experience. I kind of want one for a Canadian Highlander deck. I'm a terrible person. But so they banned Nadu, and they also banned Jeweled Lotus, which was correct. Dockside Extortionist, which, though he is a goblin, also I think correct. And Mana Crypt, which that's the one that I got some bugaboos on. We can get into that maybe, but like if we must go for it, they banned these four cards from the Commander format, and Magic the Gathering players, investors, and anyone who knows either of those people, follows one of those people, or has ever heard of a card game, collectively shit the bed. And I mean, like, I get it. Those three of the four of those were expensive-ass cards that saw a decent chunk of their value like disappear overnight, which is not, that does not feel good, I'm sure. And I mean, this makes some like CEDH decks like pretty unplayable. Like, so many decks kind of hinged on either like an infinite Dockside combo or like Lotus and Crypt to power out like a big beefy boy way too early. Like I have no idea if Atali is playable anymore, which kind of bites, but like at the same time, like if we're just looking at these as game pieces, three of the four of these cards are just make for like, I don't think they make for very interesting games. I think that like, I don't think that CEDH is hurt in the long run from losing Dockside, just because like every fucking deck ran Dockside combos. Mm-hmm. And like, that's boring. I think that Jeweled Lotus is like the most mistake of a card maybe ever printed. It sucks. It's just kind of a uniquely good card.
Well, and I mean, you have alternatives, because as soon as Jeweled Lotus was banned, I was like, oh shit, is that my, and I looked at my Asterion deck, because I know I run a couple Lotuses, but no, it's the ones I have are Nyx Lotus and Gilded Lotus. And I'm like, oh
yeah,
Okay, so there's other shit that just does this, but more balanced.
It does this, but yeah, it does. It's this, but fair. Like, yeah, I'm like, okay, cool. Does this mean like three mana rocks are back on the menu? Like, are we back in the age of Chromatic Lantern? Let's fucking go.
So and the stated reason, because as soon as this hit, like you said, everybody was like, fucking what? Why? And the stated reason was to help overall, like, again, Nadu was a separate issue. They bolted the bird as best they could. But the stated reason by the rules committee at the time was to help slow down the pace of the game, which I think is entirely fair.
I think that's great. I love like big stupid commanders. I love seven drop commanders. The commander format was pitched to me with like, make big stupid shit. It's not very efficient. It's like, it's a pile of fun. It's a pile
exactly.
of fun.
And it becomes unfun, I feel, when you have to make a 100 card deck and every deck has to have the same like base of cards.
Yeah, there's like 10 cards that are just like in every deck, which we will get to in a second, I think, because there's the elephant in the room. The ring-shaped elephant. But yeah, like it's
well, oh god, yeah.
We'll get to that. And so okay, and that gets me like fuck Lotus, rip Dockside. Oh, Mana Crypt, my beloved. I think Mana Crypt is such a cool, weird card. You feel like such a powerful wizard. Dropping a Mana Crypt, and like I love the element of chance that it brings. I think it's just cool, and it's like, yeah, it's a zero mana Soul Ring. It's like it though no, that's busted, but I don't hate that. Like it's Commander. Maybe we can have some busted things as a treat. Especially,
but
it should be
some busted things, not well, oops all busted.
But what I think is interesting in this ban, if we're looking at the four cards.
Mm-hmm.
Three of the four were designed with Commander in mind.
Yeah.
And that wasn't Crypt. And so I'm like, I think that Mana Crypt, I don't know, because I also don't disagree with the reasoning. I just wish I could still play it, is kind of where I'm at. And then we have to get to their stated reasoning, where they acknowledge that Soul Ring is just barely not as busted.
Just barely.
But because it is kind of like the mascot of the format, they're not going to ban it. And you know what? I'm like, this is maybe insane. I think that that's okay. I think here it's kind of twofold. One, not to appeal to like, not to appeal to Wizards of the Coast, not to appeal to like our corporate overlords, but it does need to be taken into consideration that every fucking pre-con has been printed with a Soul Ring, and it would feel very bad for new players to be like, yeah, your deck is technically illegal. And also, it's a card that, like, can maybe, like, I think that Soul Ring, due to it costing one mana and only creating generic mana, it can be a fun tool to enable someone to do something funny later in the game.
And it creates two.
If you're getting it down on turn one, you're cutting yourself off from colored mana until you untap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's giving you a boost. But like, I don't think that it's much more of a boost. Like early on, there's very little that you're going to be able to accomplish with that. I mean, you know, you can like turn one Soul Ring, turn two Cultivate, turn three Farseek and Azusa Lost But Seeking, and then Farseek, and then we're ramping. But then you're just doing green tax fraud. Like, okay.
But I think it also, it is more like, balanced out by getting rid of those other cards too. Like getting rid of Mana Crypt and Gilded Lotus. Like it brings it down to a slightly better level where you are not pumping three of those out on like turn one.
Well, I mean, like you could, if you're, I'm just thinking of like degenerate plays that you can do. And I absolutely have gone turn one, drop a green, drop an arboreal grazer, drop another basic, tap that soul ring, tap that signet, ship it. Like you can still do degenerate things. But like it's, yeah, I do think that like this does raise the power level of soul ring, but it also, I like that it makes decks less samey.
Yeah, I think that is the big thing.
Yeah, like I think we're in a similar place of like, broadly speaking, I stand with the rules committee decision to ban these cards. I don't necessarily agree with the rollout of banning, like the way that this like actually played out, just in a feels bad way. I'm like, if these cards were all banned like one each a month apart, sure. I do think it sucks like for folks like MagicCon Vegas is in like either next weekend or like a couple weekends from now. Like I do think this kind of sucks for folks to have to like quickly retool their decks. Like it doesn't feel great, but you know, it's like I think my harshest response to this is like, oh geez, that's kind of a bummer. And that is not how most of the internet felt.
Nope. And well, because it's like you're in and not absolutely not justifying any of the horrendous, like quite frankly, appalling response that the Rules Committee has gotten. But like you were saying, this did basically overnight wipe out thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars of value from local game stores, from collectors and people who invested.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I guess like I feel bad for game stores, but for like individual players.
Yeah, I have a much harder time feeling bad.
If you weren't planning on, if you weren't in the process of buy listing one of these cards, like, were you going to sell it? Were you thinking about getting around to selling it in the next 6 months? If no, you did not lose money. I feel really bad for anyone who just bought one. I feel really bad for like indie stores, like that bites. But like, I don't know, if you were treating like 15 Lotuses as a stock portfolio, I have a bridge to sell you. Like you are a fucking moron. Like
it's not a
like that is more volatile than crypto.
No, it is. And it has made me, like, I think the next day or so, I actually took a bunch of rare cards and cards that I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to play these. I'm just going to get rid of them and buy more packs that are going to make me happy. Like, I got rid of that Ristic study because I'm like, I'm not going to play the Ristic. Right. So, like,
yeah, I don't want to ask someone if they pay the one. Like, no, I had proxies of a couple of these. And so I'm like, all right, well, I'll take the swap for a different Goblin and Krenko. Like,
honestly, if I wanted to play those cards, I have my local commander group like allows proxies, so it's whatever.
Yep. Nope. I love how proxy friendly the state of the game is, at least right now. And yeah, that is if. I feel like the people that I feel the most bad for with respect to like these cards getting banned are like, you know, if someone had gotten one as like a treat for getting like a new job, or like they'd gotten it as like a birthday present or something, or like,
but those are such like few and far between and circumstances.
And you know what? If your partner got you a Jeweled Lotus for your anniversary, and both y'all play, they'll probably still let you play it. Just ask.
Yeah.
Like that's the Commander only works because we agree that it works. And like,
because you want to rule zero that shit.
If you have ever, if any of the tables you play at have ever allowed you to have an unconventional partner commander pairing, or like a non-legendary creature as your commander, or like uncards and silver border shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You can float these. I mean, I will, like, honestly, of them, the one that I'm going to say yes quickest to is probably Nadu, because I'm curious to see what monstrosity you're like. Yeah, this thing was banned, but I built a cute deck for him anyway. Yeah, go for it. I will not let you play Jeweled Lotus. I'm kidding. But like, you're going to have to sell me on that one. But yeah, as you've alluded to, everyone started sending death threats at the five people who voluntarily oversee the state of the game.
And it should be, as we are going through, this is a weird time where I feel like my hobby and my day job collide, where it should be no surprise as we're going through this new quote unquote Gamergate 2 movement, where a bunch of dorks are constantly mad at any women. Should be no surprise that the women were singled out for the particularly most disgusting harassment.
Oh my God. No, the way that was, the shit that I've seen is like, this like literally straight up is Gamergate 2. On like, I think a more contained level, hopefully, but like, this is what sucks is like, this really was, I think, an unfortunate bucket of cold water for Magic players to collectively realize, like, oh no, like all of the like progressive face that we've been trying to like put on for the game, like for the last like handful of years, where it's like, oh no, like you can be a woman, you can be a person of color, you can be queer, you can be trans, and like Magic will welcome you with open arms. I do think that like we've all been like, we all kind of known that like, well, that's like, that's only true to an extent. And like, it is increasingly becoming more true, because like, as more folks who aren't like cishet dudes get like established in the space, like, you know, we can make some inroads for it being like a really cute, like inclusive, like a gathering, if you will, a very magical one. But like, the shithead dude bro of it all really reared its ugly head this past week. And the rules committee effectively, the rules committee realized that they are not able to combat this level of sustained vitriol, and nor do I think most people should feel that they're capable of doing that, frankly. We're talking five people who did this as a side gig, unpaid, just like a purely voluntary stance,
like literally for the love of the game,
because they care about this funny, like, you know, 15 some odd years ago, some folks realized that you can turn your bulk into a board game with your favorite little blorbos. And it blew out of control. Like, yeah, it's just like, this was not a sustainable situation. And so this brings us to this past Monday, so 2 days ago, that would have been the 30th of September. God, September really started with the CEDH Rules Committee debacle. and ended with the seating of the rules committee to Wizards of the Coast. So now WotC specifically, it's the development folks, right? The game design folks are going
to be. I believe so, yeah.
I know it's like Gavin Verhey is one of the faces of this, is effectively going to be taking the place of the rules committee. And I'm not sure, like, I'm not sure exactly what the game's going to look like in a month or two from now, or even like a week or two from now. And this isn't to, like, doomsay anything. Like, they've already announced that they want to have a more formalized method of having like a rule zero conversation for, like, especially like matchmaking with folks who aren't part of your regular play group, and like giving players a better way to articulate like how powerful their deck actually is based on this like tier system or a bracket system. And I'm intrigued by it. Like, it hasn't really been rolled out yet, and the way that they've been talking about it, as they have given more information, I'm not against it. This feels very nuts. Like, so as I said at the top of the pod, I went to an Innistrad Cube this past weekend, and I was talking with my friend who designed the cube. Like, we were just talking about, like, because she's got Innistrad, she's got a Cons block and a March Machine set cube. Because for her, those are all like big paradigm shifts in Standard. Like, this is like the best Standard ever was. And I was telling her about how I kind of want to build a, like, State of Standard, like, September 2024 Chaos Cube. Just because, like, this is the last time that we'll have Standard before, like, Foundations drops. And Foundations has, like, a different rotation schedule than, like, traditional Standard. And so, we're about to see a very different version of that game as well. And so, like, this, like, that coinciding with the handing the reins of Commander over to Wizards, like, this does feel like entering into a new era, I guess. And I feel like this will lead to a bigger focus on designed for Commander cards, which that's not my favorite.
I mean, and that's already such a big, every set has four Commander decks with exclusive cards. Like, it already is a really big focus from WotC.
Yeah, no, the fact that just had to get some water. But yeah, no, the fact that each set comes with at least a pod's worth of Commander decks now is, with, like, you know, a couple dozen unique designs across them. It's, I don't know. And like having this, like, both of these things in the lead up to the year where they're going to be launching the Marvel Universes Beyond and Final Fantasy Universes Beyond sets. Like, this feels like a very interesting time for the game.
Do we know which one of those is first?
I believe,
because I think I saw the Marvel spoilers get out there. I don't know if we want to talk about that.
I have not internalized them. All I'll say is they're correct that, yeah, Wolverine's girl. It's cute that Captain America's
just red, white, and blue. Yeah, that's very cute.
That's about all I got on that. Like, I don't. I know that or I'm 99% certain that the Marvel set's going to drop around the same time the Lord of the Rings set did. Like, it's a, I think it's their big summer product.
Okay.
But I can't remember if Final Fantasy is a quarter one or quarter four drop. But it's like, yeah, the game's just going, like, it's, it feels weird that now Commander definitely feels like it's going to be going in a different direction, where up until the bans, I don't think that their Commander really felt like it was going in any direction at all outside of what the players adopted as, like, how they, like, how they wanted to build decks.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just like knowing that folks, I mean, I'm not opposed to a more consistent watch on, like, maybe a more consistent ban list. Like, I mean, this, like, I don't think there'd been any big bannings in Commander since, like, Golos got banned. And so, you know, going, like, years and years of radio silence and then just being like, we're
boom,
kneecapping,
like, four of the, or three of the biggest cards.
Yeah, we are kneecapping mana ramp. We are kneecapping fast mana. Is like that, that is a shakeup to the game that I don't dislike. Like, I'm still like, I'm cotiously optimistic that WotC, I mean, WotC is not gonna fucking, like, kill the golden goose.
No, like, and especially, like, as you were talking about, I think that that kind of changes the conversation even around, like, the banning of Sol Ring, is that, like, WotC, they're the ones who kind of kept it as the big, like, the pillar of Commander, because they put it in,
they keep,
like you were saying, every precon.
Well, yeah, and, like, WotC is also the reason that Lotus was able to, any of these cards were able to balloon to such prices, mm-hmm, by treating them as, like, chase mythics to sell, to move product. Like the issue all around is just capitalism. Like, I don't think there would have been nearly as much backlash if all of those cards, if any of those cards had been under $50.
I as a knock-on effect, yeah. Do you think this will, like, just the vitriol and the backlash will prevent WotC from maybe banning other big cards, like banning One Ring or something like that?
Nah, they should ban the One Ring. I want to see what happens.
I mean, like, but now we know what would happen. It would be, like, harassment and shit.
They printed it.
That's you're saying it's on them?
Yeah.
You're victim blaming?
That thing's fucking disgusting. I mean, like, I think the One Ring should probably be banned in Modern. I don't think the One Ring's, well, okay, so with Commander, the thing is, like, you don't run into, like, the life loss isn't nearly as big of a thing. And also, you can just politic your way out. No, I think the One Ring's not going to get banned in Commander. It needs to get banned in Modern. It's, yeah, like a 50% like, include index right now. It's
insane. It's,
they,
it's,
you know what?
Yeah.
Here, to WotC, you either need to ban it or reprint it. The One Ring cannot be a four of auto include in your competitive scene with it being, like, this fucking pricey. I mean, like, granted, like, Shieldred's this fucking pricey for Standard, or, like, back in the day, Tarmogoyf. But, like,
oh, yeah.
Like, but, I don't know. It's,
but those are also, like, those rotate in and out. Those feel less like, you know, those are new cards, relatively. Like, those are cards that come and go in a preordained fashion. Like, we know how long they're going to be relevant for. Whereas these other cards are things that, like, could reprint. They could drive down the cost.
Yeah, I don't understand why we don't live in a world where Jeweled Lotus capped out at like $20.
Yeah.
Because it's powerful, but like, yeah, sure, okay.
It is not, however much it, what was it, like up to 80 at some point, 90?
It was, I think it was around 90.
Yeah.
The fucking Monkey Goblin was 85. Because they just didn't reprint him. Yeah, I don't know what big cards WotC even, like, looks to ban. You know? Like, outside of the One Ring, and I don't think the One Ring is genuinely...
I don't think it's...
Like...
It's unless it reaches a higher permeation in mod... Like, if it gets up to, like, 70% modern decks, they might have to just, like, have that conversation.
Yeah, or maybe we talk about, like, a restriction or something. I'm gonna say let's let Modern cook for a little bit longer. They just lost Grief. Pour one out. My most toxic trait is I think double griefing someone is some of the most fun you can have without taking off your clothes.
Most toxic trait.
No. So I love that they banned Grief. I was able to pick one up for my Mardu shithead Canlander deck. And literally last night it was playing it and I double griefed Vi and it was so funny because she's like, wait, what the fuck? That's how that works. And I'm like, yeah, dude. Yeah. People ran four ofs. Now do you see the Rakdos scam was toxic as hell? It's one of the coolest decks ever built. God, pour one out for Furion Grief. The blowjob brothers. God damn. Fuck. Oh my god. I run both in my Mardu shithead deck. I'm a normal person and can be trusted with expensive cardboard. Actually on Canlander, I understand WotC's reasoning, but I'm still a little bit surprised that they aren't just adopting like a Canadian Highlander points system for certain cards. Because I found that A, it's a very fun deck building challenge, and B, like, keeps the format pretty healthy.
And I think, like, that kind of, those concessions, I think, are, like, they still allow for the freedom that you would want in building in that format without making it so that you have to run everything, that you have to have all these cards, or none of them.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I think the point system is brilliant, and that right now you cannot include, like, you go over your point spending limit if you try to include a Black Lotus and a Soul Ring in your Canlander deck. And, like, that's balance, baby. Like, you can include three Moxen if you want, but, like, I mean, yeah, but that's cool, but it's not everything. I was reading it's now a couple months old article, but it was kind of like a state of Canadian Highlander, like player feedback, like survey feedback overview. And I love that they're thinking about adding Minsk and Boo to the point system, because that thing is, I run a Minsk and Boo in my Gruul Sneak Attack deck.
Hell yeah.
It is so gross to play 1v1. It's okay, you know what? I encourage all Commander players who are listening to this, give Canadian Highlander a shot. If anything, just to understand why some folks in the community or who are not Commander players who are critical of certain cards not being banned, play some Canadian Highlander and experience the power of Soul Ring in that capacity. And it's like, oh yeah, no, this thing's like this isn't just a cute little card that helps me cheat my commander out, which is how I think a lot of us tend to, like, shorthand think it. It's like, no, this thing's, like, really busted. Like, there's a reason why this card is restricted in Vintage.
So really quick, do you have any other thoughts on the banning and the current state of Commander?
I think that it's too early to tell for we're entering into a new state of Commander. And I think we're still kind of in this, like, primordial goo state where we're seeing how things are going to play out. In short, I think the bannings were correct and it's the children who are wrong.
I agree with that. I haven't played, I guess, enough. I've definitely played against Dockside. I've definitely played against Lotus. I don't know how much I don't think I've played a whole lot against people who are packing Mana Crypt.
The only time you run into them are in high power, maybe CEDH tables. And they're houses, but like my CEDH pod were just like, okay, we had a game night planned for the night of the bannings. And it was kind of discussed internally. It's like, do we modify our decks before we go, or do we give it like, give them one last send off? What happens? And we're like, no, you know what? Let's embrace the future. Let's embrace change. We're changing up our decks. We still had someone just narrowly whiff the win on turn two. Like, it's the game will be fine.
The thing is, and somebody brought this up, I don't remember who brought it up on Twitter, but like they were sharing cards that they haven't even older Commander staples that have been just power crept out.
Yeah.
That they were sharing that like they just haven't seen in a while when people used to kind of, you know, do that. And I think that is so much of the fun of Commander can be, should be, like reaching back into the past of Magic, finding weird removal, finding weird tactics to play with, and not just like, you know, I'm tricking out free cons with the craziest high tier stuff.
Yeah, like it's I stop optimizing your decks. Like go for kitchen table, go for vibes, go for like, no, this is like treat Magic like it's prop comedy and you will have a great time. Like, first episode we recorded, I told you about the Shivan Wumpus. That is my, like, guiding light.
I do remember Shivan Wumpus.
There is nothing better than being... There's nothing better than asking, do you Chumpus the Wumpus? It's, like, it's just... Stop taking it so seriously, guys. The game will be like, stop power creeping out your own fun. Stop optimizing out your own fun. I don't know. And this might just be because my commander decks, I like them. I like to look big and scary and for my decks to be very bad.
See, and I'm almost the exact opposite where I like, well, not the exact opposite because I don't like my decks to be fully optimized, but I like my decks to have a lot of flavor and to like and tell a story with them and like bring that kind of bring part of that Magic experience, like the ability to tell your own story, that role playing aspect to the rest of the table.
Role playing is the perfect way to put it. Like it treat a game of Commander like it's a game of D&D and this commander like is your Commander is your
character. Yeah.
Make choices. Get into the lore of Magic. Learn about like the lore behind your legendary creature and then start thinking, well, what would they want? Like what card would make sense for them to use? Like I once built, who's the big spider from Lord of the Rings?
Shelob? Yep.
Yeah. I built her and I built an Oops All Bugs deck. With
Hell
no
yeah.
Mana Rocks in it, because I'm like, well, bugs wouldn't understand how to use Mana Rocks.
My black-white, like, Aristocrats deck, my Asterion deck, which is an Asterion commander deck, is entirely, it's not just vampires, but also a ton of gates, because it, like, Baldur's Gate is a city. A shit ton of, like, I went through all the cards I had from Thunder Junction, from Capenna, anything that had to do, not anything went into the deck, but I was looking at anything that had to do with, like, greed or amassing wealth or, like, just like, ooh, general themes to cards.
There's, have you looked at Old Ixalan?
No.
Ooh, that, because a lot of good treasure stuff from Ixalan with black white vampires.
Well, and then also, like, that's a similar thing I did when I was building my Edward Kenway Pirates Sea Monsters deck. Is, like, anything that has to do with treasure or sea ghosts or sea monsters, like, I just put it in these big piles, and I was like, okay, I want a Kraken, I want some, like, big octopus, I want some
pirate ships, I want, yeah,
exactly.
No, like, yes, no, that is just the fun of it. Like, I love my Rhea Ivor deck. I will mention my Rhea Ivor deck on every episode of this pod for the first, like, 15 episodes, I'm sure of it. But it's like, it's my baby. It's my oops. I love Phyrexians. It's my oops all Phyrexians. Let me show you weird, fucked up little, like, slick men. I don't know. It's...
People need to have more fun with it. And I understand that a lot of... Like, it is... By nature of it being a game that so many people have invested not just time, but a lot of money into, it's, like, there's going to be some contentious feelings about it.
Yeah.
But I feel... You shouldn't lose sight of the fact that it is a game, and the reason you come to it should be for fun and community and those shared experiences that you've formed.
Exactly. Like, it's, guys, it's the magic of gathering. Just, like, be better. I hope that we never see something like this past week has been again.
Oh, absolutely not.
Like, that was fucking appalling.
It was like watching it unfold, and having been on the video game industry side of things and knowing, like, seeing that unfold, just immediately I had a sinking feeling of, like, oh no, like, I know what's coming.
Yep.
But anyway,
God damn.
Yeah, I think that about covers everything from this week, though.
God willing, nothing exciting happens over the weekend or next Monday that, like, could even remotely want us to have an emergency pod. Let's all be real cool, guys.
Let's just, like, chill out for a little bit.
Let's just chill out. Let's get stoked for KubeCon. Let's stoked for Vegas if you're going to that. Like, let's just, guys.
Just chillax.
You know, crack a pack. Hang with buddies.
And I think with that, we will see you all next time.
See y'all next time. And pass the turn.